Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Back on the morning of his death, September the 11th, 2001, Father Michael Judge was moving quickly, stopping only long enough to grab his fire chaplain's helmet and coat. He raced down to the smoking World Trade Center buildings to offer all of the aid and comfort that he possibly could. Despite the danger to his own life, his presence was mandatory, he believed. And that's because in a prayer that he once prayed, he outlined this philosophy: Lord, take me wherever you want me to go, and let me meet whoever you want me to meet. He set off urgently on that world-changing day to where the Lord wanted to take him, thinking only about helping others. A passing documentary crew filmed his anxious face, already a shocked witness to history as he prayed in the lobby of the North Tower, his white helmet reading FDNY Chaplain. Refusing all offers to be evacuated, Father Judge instead continued to offer sacraments as a huge portions and parts of buildings as well as people fell on the earth around him. Dozens of bodies were hitting the plaza just outside as people jumped to their deaths from the top stories of the South Tower. A passerby heard his final prayer, which he repeated over and over again. Jesus, please end this now. God, please end this. And when the South Tower finally collapsed at 9:59 a.m., the debris crashing through that, or crashing down to the street from the South Tower, also crashed through the North Tower. Tower lobby, killing many in its path, including the man that the New York Fire Department called Father Mike. A medical examiner recorded Father Michael Judge as the very first fatality of a first responder on that day and assigned him the number DM0001-01, the DM standing for Disaster Manhattan. This morning, we might also want to use the term first responder to characterize the entry of Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke into the district of Macedonia, which is the story that we have told to us here in our Acts reading for today. And while not summoned by a radio call or an alarm, Paul and his co-workers received that 911 dispatch through a nighttime vision in which a man from Macedonia pleaded to Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul's team understood this was a call from God, and they realized that the help needed was a proclamation of the gospel in that region. And thus they set sail from Troas, where the vision had occurred, and soon were sharing the gospel in Philippi, the leading city of Macedonia. However, our first reading is trimmed, I think, so tightly here that we aren't given the full context about when this nighttime vision came to Paul. But if we back up just a few more verses and begin reading from verse 4, we would learn that Paul and his fellow missionaries were traveling from town to town, strengthening existing churches. And at one point, they had intended to preach the good news in an area of Asia, which is now present-day Turkey. But the Holy Spirit put the brakes on that. So then they decided to carry the gospel to Bethania in a northwest Asia Minor area. But the Spirit pushed back on that idea as well. This was when Paul had his vision, and it was clear to him that God really wanted him, or wanted all of them, to go and be first responders to the people living in Macedonia. So what would be your reply if you suddenly were told that you might be needed as a first responder in someone's search for faith? Would it be, who, me? I'm no professional. Or would you say, maybe you should go and talk to the pastor about this? But you see, you're the one to whom this person has addressed his or her 911 call. And that's probably because this person has some connection to you that caused him or her to speak to you directly about their need. And because of that connection, you may be the only one at that very moment with a first aid kit to help that person's stop it, his or her spiritual hemorrhaging. So while you may not have any formal training, you can certainly tell that person what your faith means to you. And depending upon your own experience with Christ, you might be the only one to address that person's sense of emptiness by sharing the gospel with them about how Jesus has given meaning to your life. You might be the only person to address someone's loneliness, explaining that Jesus is a comforting presence and help when you have to weather those dark moments in your own life and you feel alone. You might be the only person to help someone face their fear by talking to them about the calmness and about the spiritual strength that you receive from the gospel that is fostered in you. You might be the only person to tell someone how to make their first approach to God by sharing with them the basics of simple prayer. In other words, you might be that person's first and only faith responder. Now, probably the clearest Macedonian call for many of us often comes when, in normal conversation, a family member or friend invites us to be honest with them about our faith. In our text here this morning from Acts, it says that in Philippi, Paul sat down and then spoke to some women who he encountered in a place of prayer near a river. It doesn't say, however, that Paul preached to them at this place, nor that he tried to scare them by telling them about all of the terrors of hell if they didn't receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He simply spoke to them. And Luke reports that one of those who were listening was a woman by the name of Lydia, and that the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. Opened her heart. What does that mean if not that something was bleeding inside of her at that very moment? And to be honest, that's happening to a lot of people that we know these days. There's a story told about the English biologist Thomas Henry Huxley, who was a very well-known agnostic. He died back in 1895, but sometime before his death, he'd attended a party at a country estate where a number of guests had been staying there over the weekend. And on Sunday morning, most of the guests then prepared themselves to go to church, but Huxley declined the invitation to go with them. And instead, he approached a fellow guest, someone he knew to be a committed Christian, and asked him if he wouldn't spend the morning with him instead. "Suppose you don't go to church today," said Huxley. Suppose instead that you stay here and tell me what your Christian faith means to you and why you are a Christian. Well, the man, knowing that Huxley was a great thinker, replied, "But you could demolish my arguments in an instant. I'm not clever enough to argue with you." Huxley replied, "I don't want to argue with you. I just want you to tell me what Christ means to you." And so the man agreed to stay home from church that day and spoke with Huxley about his faith. And when they had finished, Huxley said, "I would give my right hand if only I could believe that." Okay, so that was back in the 19th century. But how does that play out here in our own 21st century world? How do these conversations take place when it's a colleague in our workplace or a friend in our neighborhood or the people that we spend time with at the fitness center or out at the golf club? How does this play out with those who have a sense that our faith is important to us and that we go to church regularly? Most of our conversations with these acquaintances usually deal with more routine, everyday things. But as we develop relationships with others, sometimes these faith topics will come up. Perhaps the other person wants our opinion about some kind of an ethical matter, or wants to talk to us about a personal problem that they're having. A perfect opportunity, frankly, to share something about our own faith. Now keep in mind, first responders aren't usually the ones that are expected to provide the whole solution. They're the ones who do their best in an emergency to stop the bleeding and then to send that person to a place where more help is available. So if a moment like that comes up, where someone within our circle of acquaintances appears to be in need of a faith responder, may God give us the courage and the will to be that person to them. Amen.